From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week we're talking with Doug Day. He's directing What Will Be Your Legacy?, a one-act play about family farms, which is being performed across Central Illinois. It's being presented tonight and tomorrow at the Cornstalk Winter Playhouse. Doug, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for your interest, Suzette.
Now, this play is designed to illustrate some of the problems that are facing family farmers, particularly older family farmers who have to make decisions about what happens to the land after they retire. Can you talk a little bit about how this play, this performance, is a little different from what you might expect from one of the community theaters in town?
Well, this play sort of combines art and policy so that its purpose is to both entertain and educate the audience in terms of current farm policy and what's going on in the world of agriculture today. It was written by a man in Minnesota with the Land Stewardship Alliance up there, and originally the play was about 45 minutes. I cut it down to about 25 minutes, and we kind of rewrote some of it. It's a two-actor play, although the two actors portray a variety of different characters. The basic plot of the play is an older farm couple trying to determine, their health is starting to fail, and they're trying to determine what will they do with their farm ground. Their children have moved off to the city. They're not interested in farming. And so they're trying to figure out what will be their legacy. What will they do? And they're trying to figure that out. And the farm has a history of conservation practices. The wife wishes to see those practices continue, but modern farming techniques don't care so much for that. They have an offer on the table from a neighbor who farms thousands of acres, but the wife is concerned that they will tear out some of their conservation practices that they've been doing for two generations. And so they're trying to decide to sell it, to rent it. And then this young couple shows up out of the blue at their front door wishing to rent or purchase or a long lease in order to continue the conservation practices, turning it into more organic produce and grass-fed beef and direct customer farm sales. But they can't pay the big bucks that farmland is currently getting. And so that's the dilemma that the play explores.
I'm sensing some implied pathos.
Well, there is. And we try to have some humor as well and try to get the audience to become a part of the decision process that the older couple is making. We have a lot of direct address to the audience. The actors are both at times in character, and then they step out to comment on the character to the audience. So it's a very fluid construction, the way the play is designed.
And it's also a shorter play, like you were saying. And as I understand it, that's deliberate because you want the extra time at the end of the performance as an opportunity for the audience to have a real discussion about the policy issues that are raised in the play. Did I get that right?
Exactly. That's exactly it, Nathan. The land connection is located in Bloomington, and the executive director of the land connection is Tara Brockman. She contacted me back in, I think, December, wanting some input for this play. It was their project. They had a grant to do it. And the purpose of the land connection is to educate and train young farmers to try to match farmland and sustainable organic practices with young farmers and to help young farmers get started. The land connection is trying to bring both the urban and the rural communities together for an appreciation of farming and farming practices. So they contacted me and wanted me to do this. And so it's designed as a way of beginning a conversation with the audience following the performance, and that's why it's only 25 minutes long, to talk about farm policies and problems, hurdles facing young farmers wishing to get into the business.
I appreciate that technique, that really there are no answers inside the play. It's not a Brady Bunch ending, But are you seeing from the discussion that people are feeling hopeful as a result of talking back and forth?
People are just starting to become aware of the situation, I think. And so the discussions are generally slow to develop, and people need to be encouraged to speak up in a group, as always. That's always the situation. But the play leaves it on a question. We don't know what this couple is going to decide. And so through discussion, we hope to get the audience to start to appreciate what their feelings might be for the way they would like to see this play and what kind of decision they would like to see the couple make.
And is your interest in this project based in part on the fact that you are not only an actor and director in the community, but you also have an organic farm that you and your wife operate?
That's right. This project has allowed me to bring two of my great passions together, farming and theater. And so if you ask people throughout Central Illinois if they have a farming background, oftentimes people will say, well, we used to go to my grandparents' farm, that sort of thing, meaning that they were first or second generation off the farm. And I'm with that as well. That's my family background as well. And then I'm also concerned about diet and people eating good, decent, nutritious food and health. And so all of these sorts of issues are starting to come together, I think, around diet, food, processed food, organic or natural food, chemicals, all of these issues. It's all coming together. There's a lot of it going on in the state government right now and even in the federal government.
How did you find out about this play, and what does it mean to you personally to direct something that you're so personally involved in?
I was called by, I got a telephone call out of the blue from Tara Brockman in the Land Connection. I knew Tara as a farmer, and she didn't know I was a theater person. And so she somehow found out and called me to, they were struggling with the script and wanted to know if I would be interested in directing it. And eventually we were able to make that happen. And it's been a great project.
Now, is there an outcome that you are hoping for, or that the Land Connection is hoping for? You had said earlier that you're following the performances with a audience discussion, but is the intent to make that as open-ended as possible, or is there a hope that some policy or set of policies will that will lead to some policy or some set of policies?
I don't think that is necessarily the goal with this production. I think it's more of a consciousness-raising type of play to get people thinking about it, to get people to become more aware of where their food comes from. You know, right now we're sort of experiencing in this country a real diminishment of the numbers of people who actually work on the farm or own farmland. And we're losing that connection with our food source. You know, so many kids today, they think milk comes out of a jug, period. That's the extent. They don't know that a carrot grows below ground. So part of, I think, the purpose of the Land Connection is to start that conversation with people about their food and the people who bring them their food.
And I wonder if it's also telling the farmer, talk about your issues. My perception is that farmers might not be necessarily big talkers. They're big doers.
Absolutely. And that's almost one of the lines in the play. Farmers today have so much on their plate, in a sense, that they are looking at rising seed costs, rising input costs. Of course, farm ground continues to go up. We recently had a farm sell in Peoria County for $15,500 an acre. The only way that works is if commodity prices keep going up. Farmers, on some levels, some farmers are betting the farm every planting season. They go, they take out big loans to buy the seed, which is now running about $300 a bag. It'd be about an 80-pound bag of seed. So It's a high-cost gamble every year, and we all remember the drought from last summer. So it's a tough business for people.
Now, I would imagine that you will get, and you're probably hoping to get, an audience for this that's not the same as the typical community theater audience. As you've been doing performances of this play, are you trying to attract, and are you attracting a different audience, a different group of people in the performance space?
I think so. I think we are getting people that might not ordinarily go to see a community theater play. We're getting people who have an interest in food issues and diet and health. And we had that reception last week in Bloomington when we premiered the play. We had a real nice cross-section of people, but I did not get the impression that they were general theater goers. So theater can be a wonderful communication device to both entertain but also to educate. It's always been that way. I think this play does a pretty nice job of doing both of them. It is very entertaining. We've got two highly trained, talented actors, Charlie Brown and Cindy Hoey, who people will recognize locally. And they're doing a really great job.
And this is only part of a series of performances that you're giving around the region. You were in Bloomington Normal last weekend. And where else are you taking this production?
Oh, yes. We're going to be at St. Matthew's Lutheran Church on South Philo Road in Urbana on April 5th and 6th. And then on April 19th and 20th, we close the run at the U of I Extension Office on South Airport Drive in Springfield. So we have eight performances scheduled. We've done two. We've got two this weekend, and so we'll be halfway through the run.
We're talking about food in the play, and you'll also have some local food presented and available for consumption at the show.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of the fun things about this project is that we put on it's a dinner theater, I guess you could say, right? We put on a play, we have some talk and conversation, and also we eat a little something. And for example, last week in Bloomington, they had an absolutely drop-dead delicious goat's cheese served afterwards, and carrots that you can't believe. They were like, twice the size of a silver dollar in diameter and crunchy as could be and just, you know, wonderful local flavors. And being into this local food thing, the thing that I have discovered is how much better fresh, in-season, locally grown food is than what we normally get. And I think if people come out and try a little bit of this, they will be hooked on buy fresh, buy local.
Doug Day is the director of What Will Be Your Legacy. The next two performances are tonight and tomorrow at 6:30 at the Cornstalk Winter Playhouse in Upper Bradley Park in Peoria. Doug, break a leg.
Thanks so much, Nathan.
Nathan, another event playing in the Peoria area. The Contemporary Arts Center presents the band Cousin Eddie live at the Five Spot tonight. This is a nostalgia band bound to leave everyone humming tunes from the 60s. That's at 5:30. And if that's not enough, the Contemporary Arts Center also offers swing dance lessons from 8:30 to 9:30, with open dancing tonight from 9:30 to 12:30 a.m. It's swinging at the CAC.
And the Knox Galesburg Symphony is in concert tomorrow night with a program that includes two pieces for harp and orchestra. One of them is the Fantasia on Greensleeves by Rafe Vaughan Williams. The other is by American composer William Grant Still. The program also includes one of the late symphonies by Haydn. That concert is tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Orpheum Theater in Galesburg.
Out and About is a production of WCBU Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you with the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
And you can subscribe to our weekly podcast by going to our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About.